Konnichiwa, listeners. You're listening to the Potty Slam Show, a wrestling historical podcast where we talk about the locker room and beyond. Once again, we're joined by the Cajun Crippler, Cody Laveau.
Hey, I'm back. You just can't get rid of me, it would seem like. What's going on, guys?
Like herpes, he won't leave. Oh, jeez.
Much more pleasant than herpes, though.
Yeah, I would agree. Josh is here.
I've got nothing. I was trying to come up with a quip, but it doesn't need one.
April's here.
Yes, I am.
And I'm here.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. Guess who's got a story this week?
Lando.
No, me.
Oh, okay.
George Herman Ruth Jr. Ever heard of him?
No. Yes.
Babe Ruth. He was an American professional baseball player. Played 22 years from 1914 to 1935. Known as the Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT. Was a great pitcher, even better baseball player. 714 career home runs. I know this is weird, but I am on the right show to talk about this.
The only man with more nicknames than me somehow.
Now, we know about his professional career. Most people should know. I mean, he's probably the most famous sports icon of all time.
Shit, they named a candy bar after him.
He does have a candy bar named after him. He was, of course, elected to the Hall of Fame, all that. But after his career kind of fizzled, he wanted to stay into baseball. And this is where this story gets kind of sad. No one would have him. It's really weird. He wanted to be a manager for the Yankees, and they said no. Eventually, he finally got it. Was approached to be a first base coach with the Los Angeles Dodgers, but even then, they took the power away from him to make calls, to even call plays. And the only reason they had him come on as a first base coach was to increase attendance, which it did, of course.
Can I actually be a little bit of a dork for just a second?
Yeah,
and just be a little bit of a nerd. Is the Baby Ruth bar was not actually named after Babe Ruth.
Really?
Yep. It was invented in 1921. And I guess there's been a little bit of a misnomer that it was named after him. Some people believe it was named after Grover Cleveland's daughter. And the main reason that I know that is because that's my son's name is Grover. I named him after the former leader of.
Oh, wow.
So I do know a little bit about him, but that bar was invented a little bit before the rise to fame of him. And the two things just happened to kind of line up. So that's kind of one of the oldest misnomers in.
Interesting.
So, candy bar lore, but go on. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Look for the Ivanka Trump bar 2 years from now.
No, this one's kind of salty.
It'll be full of nuts. Oh, Lord. Well, like I was saying, he was hired as the first base coach for the Dodgers. He was then re-upped his contract, but he tore it up wanting to make a comeback in his 40s. It didn't work out so well. So what's he to do here? Here he is. He's his love is baseball, and baseball just won't have him, which is really sad. If you think about it, once he was out of work, there was no jobs for him in 1945, at least not in baseball. Josh.
Well, I think the reason why we can look at this now and think how insane it is because we've had many years that we can acknowledge Babe Ruth as one of the all-time greats, but back then maybe not so much. I mean, they maybe didn't really see him in that same
way. Which is insane. I guess, yeah, you're right. As history goes on, you view him as what we see now, but I mean, his home run total was dwarfed everybody else's.
Right.
So here we are, 1945, and now he can't get a job in baseball. So where's the Babe going to go? How about we go to the wrestling mat instead? Being a wrestling referee couldn't replace playing baseball, but it offered a surge of adrenaline and a spot to shine in the spotlight. It was a chance to reconnect with fans and light up kids' smiles, which was one thing Babe Ruth loved doing. He loved doing things for kids. He was actually an orphan who was taken in by a Catholic organization when he was a kid, and that's where he learned to play baseball. And not to mention, it also came with, guess what? A nice check each night.
Yeah, of course.
Because he brought in some people. The money wasn't as much as of a draw as the crowds were. And baseball's, you know, pushing him out helped him push him into wrestling refereeing. As San Jose News wrote in 1945, Ruth explained that, quote, the only reason he was gone to referee for a career is because the executives of the diamond sport had snubbed him for 11 years.
Oh, wow.
That's sad.
Post-retirement, he agreed to referee shows in Portland, Maine, and Boston. These weren't his first forays into counting pinfalls, though. Ruth had done scattered referee work through his days playing baseball. He was a wrestling fan. When folks questioned why he would pull on the striped shirt and get in there with the bruisers and the brawlers, he reminded them that he had done this before. He told the Milwaukee Journal before his matches in 1945, quote,
you know, I'm no rookie in that league. I must have refereed at least 10 matches while I was in baseball. Ruth broke into the business during his first spring training as a Yankee in 1920.
That's when he oversaw a middleweight title bout between Jack Wagner and Paul Bowser. Bowser remembered the Babe being the one in control of the action for that contest. He said, as noted by the Milwaukee Journal, quote,
Ruth did a good job officiating that night.
The wrestling world invited him back some 25 years later. By then, his fame had ballooned, and he had taken a hammer to baseball's record books. And long after the skills faded, his swing lost its oomph, people wanted him to see him in person still. Montvell wrote,
the public was still fascinated by him, even if the headlines had disappeared. If his name was attached to an event, the event usually drew a crowd.
Now here at the Expo in Portland, Maine, 2,300 fans packed inside. The Expo was nearly sold out. Anticipation was high. So on Monday, April 2nd, 1945, Manuel Cortez and Leo Numa were set to do battle in the ring. But it wasn't the grapplers who made this bout feel so special. It was Ruth's presence that changed the standard bout into a curiosity-satiating event. It wasn't clear what the home run king would bring to the action. His star power alone would surely make an impact, though. The Telegraph speculated in 1945 about the fans in attendance.
Quote, if the Bambino merely stands up there and grins at them, they'll be satisfied.
And that's kind of the, I guess, the carny aspect of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This could either be a one-time opportunity to see Ruth as a ref or perhaps see him make his stay in wrestling world more permanent. A short write-up in the Evening Independent stated,
quote, if the venture proves successful, the former slugger may make a national tour.
Now, Numa was a handsome brute. Dark wavy hair sat atop his head. Kind of like you, Cody.
Aw, shucks.
His opponent employed a rough style in the ring. Josh is about to tombstone pile drive his dog. This could either be one, like I said, let's see here. His opponent employed a rough style in the ring. He was a brawler by trade, a man who could hang in a slugfest with the unpredictable Bull Curry. Cortez lived up to the reputation against Numa. So this is the mid-1940s. I think this is kind of the coming out for wrestling being as opposed to what it was as an actual professional event and being more of what it is today.
Oh, yeah. 40s were kind of around the time that sort of started. Even a little bit before that, sort of in the Gorgeous George era of it, when it became more about the personalities mm-hmm. than it was just the sport of it itself.
Yeah, this is kind of the post-George Hackenschmidt days, I think. He was overly aggressive at times, bending the rules of the mat game. Ruth had to warn him on several occasions. In this case, Ruth was as much a star of the show as either wrestler. He was sure to be a central figure in the narrative. With young fans screaming advice to the Yankees great, Ruth worked a long, tiring match. His trousers grew sodden by the end. End of it.
Hold on a second.
Sodden.
Sodden with sweat. And look, I would compare Babe Ruth as far as baseball to, I'd say, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
In that, they both had vices. Mm-hmm. Ruth was a bit of a drinker, but he was an eater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
There was a story about him being on a train and he ate 10 to 12 hot dogs. Oh, Lord. Which gave him a stomach problem. And then he ended up missing some games. He ended up having to go to the hospital because of that.
Oh, jeez.
Yikes, dude.
What happens when you stuff a lot of weenies in your mouth?
Drained and sweating, Ruth had to then evade a punch. Cortez, fed up with the referee's insistence on not breaking the rules, tried to slug the babe, and he missed. Ruth called for the bell. And after the disqualification, referee and wrestlers looked as if they might provide a bonus match for the fans. Ruth balled up his fist and yelled at Cortez. And unlike his days in the batter's box, though, he didn't swing this time. So we move on to Boston. Actually, the Boston Garden.
Well, I can say about the whole sweaty thing. I mean, back in those days, it was not like rare for matches to go to 1 hour draws.
Wow.
Like matches were really long and they often would end in a no contest or in a disqualification because wrestlers just wouldn't pin each other. They were brutal back then. I mean, like Iron Man now is like once a year, maybe, you'll see one, but like these guys, because I mean, you might only have two or three fights on the card, you know, if it was a huge card, you'd have like five or six, but up through the 70s, I mean, it wasn't rare for guys to wrestle like a full hour long draw because they just didn't have the bodies for it.
Well, and especially they didn't have to worry about a TV time slot either.
You
could go for 4 or 5 hours and no one's going to blink an eye. I mean, they're probably going to have sore butts, but.
and this is, I would imagine, before AC was a regular thing.
I didn't even think about that.
Yikes. And those, eesh.
The smell.
Which month was this going on in again? Did you have the date of it? Oh, I just curious.
Let's see here.
This is in the 40s.
Yeah, so. The 45. I don't have the date. This is in April.
Okay, but so that like muggy spring.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, I could definitely see with a few hundred bodies like packed into this place all to go and see the babe. You know, like just packed into the, oh man, yikes. Yeah, a lot of sweating going on back then.
The sights and smells of professional wrestling.
Imagine the smell in the locker room.
So the Boston Garden hosted Ruth just 2 days later. A collision between Steve Casey and Sandor Sabo awaited his officialing skills. Decades prior, he'd been a star in the city as an overwhelming left-handed pitcher for the Red Sox. And now he was back to entertain once again in a far different manner. Ruth was charged with keeping the peace between Sabo, a man of intimidating size, and Casey, an Irishman known as Crusher. You earn that nickname. That's not given. You earn it.
Yeah, for sure.
Casey had just returned from the army, having fought in World War II, and was now ready to wear the heavyweight title once again.
Wow.
And he was in for a stiff challenge. His opponent had an unsettling arsenal, including a move dubbed the Death Swing.
Oh, God.
God help us.
Like with Numa and Cortez, the Bambino would have be no more spectator here. He was the in-ring sheriff and at times got so involved that he looked if he was one of the men vying for the victory. Now, when Sabo wished to slip an illegal stranglehold around Casey's neck, Ruth pulled him off, clamped a headlock on the grappler, and then yanked him down to the mat. It was like trying to control two wild animals in there, and he didn't mind getting a handful of fur in the process.
AKA back hair.
George the Animal Steel level of back hair.
Oh, man.
Just still less than me.
Just you wait. As soon as I win one of our SummerSlam or WrestleMania challenges, I'm going to make you wax your chest. It's happening.
That's going to suck.
I'm just biding my time. I'm letting you get comfortable with all your wins.
Well, Josh and I have talked about taking a chest chop.
A chop, yeah.
Chops. Do those hurt? Have you ever gotten a chop before?
No, we want to do it on air, though.
Oh, well, yeah. then I'm not going to spoil it for you.
What we need to do is pool some money, get a plane ticket for Cody to come up and
send me out there and I will give you that nice chop right there.
I actually just felt that.
I know. Josh flinched. Ruth nearly got more involved in the violence later. At one point, he stepped between the gladiators and just avoided being struck. The Norwalk Hour wrote,
"A flying foot missed the Ruthian chin by an inch."
Yeah. He almost caught some sweet chin music. And the wrestlers made Ruth earn his paycheck once again. It's not clear if he lost any weight this time around, but he surely got his cardio in for the day. Casey won after the match had passed the hour mark.
Oof.
A reverse backfall proved the deciding hold. And once the crowds went home and the checks were handed out, thoughts of Babe Ruth's future then emerged. When asked whether he would be suiting up in an official's garb again, he wasn't sure. The Tuscaloosa News noted that Ruth said, quote,
"I only agreed to appear in Portland Monday night and here in Boston. If I ever receive any more of such offerings, I'll give them much serious consideration before accepting any."
And of course, the promoter surely wanted him to stick around. Not only was he a mighty figure in pop culture, but he also seemed to be popular as a referee. Bowser, the man who wrestled in Ruth's early offering, said,
"If Ruth will stick to wrestling for a year or two, he'll clean up another fortune."
But he didn't stick to it. He didn't make the ring his new home or carve out a second career and earn himself a few new nicknames. Ruth left wrestling not long before he left the world behind.
Aww.
Because this is the sad part. He started getting pain over his left eye the next year. And they couldn't figure out what it was. They thought it was a toothache, a sinus infection, something. And what it was he had throat cancer.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
And from there, it gets kind of sad. They start rushing out a movie. There was a movie about his life, and at one point, he gets the finalized script and hands it to the captain of the Yale baseball team, to a man by the name of George Bush.
Oh! Because
George Bush was quite the accomplished baseball player himself. Mm-hmm. Babe barely lives long enough to see the movie, to make the premiere, I should say. Mm. He makes the premiere. And he's in such pain, they leave after maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Aww.
They take him to the hospital, and that's where he ends his day.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, it's crazy. I didn't know he had been a referee.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Have you ever refereed, Cody?
No, that is, I would like to at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm a little tall to be a ref. I'm 6 foot, and most of those guys are a lot smaller to just make the boys look bigger, you know? So most refs you'll meet are under 5'8".
Oh, wow. So even shorter than me.
Right. Because, especially on a much bigger scale, is that if you're going to be next to, you know, like Kane, mm-hmm. who's a big guy, Kane, you know, he's 6'9", but if you put somebody that's 5'5" next to him, he's just going to look like a colossus, you know? But that is a hard job. Like, refs do not get the credit that those guys really need to get, because you are you have to keep time. You have to know the beats of a match. You have to know triage in case somebody gets hurt. Ref is just as hard and just as vital as anybody in that match, especially. The higher up that you go in any kind of body that you're going to work in.
How legit is the height weight thing? Like, is it inflated in any sort?
Do you mean like
I guess
kayfabe height, you know,
like I'm a legit 5'9".
Like the Big Show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a legit 5'9".
Yeah.
Would they just announce me as 5'9"?
If you were a wrestler, most of the smaller guys, they will usually keep it pretty honest. Mm-hmm. It's once you get on the bigger side of things that they start to fudge it just a bit. Because with smaller guys, it doesn't really matter as much towards drawing in. So like, if you're like Rey Mysterio, it really doesn't matter. I mean, he's like 5'4". I've met, I think the shortest wrestler I've ever met is Aerostar. And that guy is, I mean, he's just a frog hair over 5'1". Wow. He is a tiny little man. Aerostar is tiny. I could put that guy in my pocket. So it really doesn't matter with those guys if you say that they're 5'1 or 5'3 or 5'5". Mm-hmm. But if you're somebody like the Big Show, who is maybe 6'9", 6'10", if you say he's 7 feet tall,
and you can't teach that.
Exactly. That sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
In fact, you will also notice that wrestlers, if it's a monster going up against a monster, let's say like an old monster like Kane, who used to be 7 feet tall, apparently he shrunk because whenever he would go up against somebody like Big Cass, mm-hmm. Big Cass would be 7 foot tall, and suddenly Kane is 6'9".
Right.
Whereas if you look back at one of his matches from 1998, they go, my God, that boy's got to be 7 foot tall. You know, it's more of a thing to put over whoever needs to be mm-hmm. taller. So, that varies a lot. Weight is that same thing. I think Andre at his biggest, was even never as big as they actually said that he was, even though he was a massive, massive man.
Yeah. I just saw this. Someone posted Andre the Giant, applying for a license to wrestle in New Jersey. I think it was.
Oh yeah.
And I think they had him posted as 7'4", 450,
Jesus.
which is the most accurate, I think, that mm-hmm. they've ever done, because that wasn't supposed to be shown to anybody. I saw that too. So that's most likely what Andre actually was. Yes. Was like 7 foot, was 7'4", 450.
That is still, I can't imagine.
Enormous. But there are places where, you know, he would be billed as, you know, 7'8".
Oh, the rumor was that Vince would put him on a milk crate when he interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And then he would be put next to somebody like Howard Finkel, mm-hmm. who's another tiny little man, because he just looks like a kid next mm-hmm. to him. And then Andre, would be up on that milk crate, and he was supposed to stand up tall, and they would either have to hold up the mic really, really tall, or Andre would have to, in this very showman fashion, have to lean down mm-hmm. into the mic, and he would, you know, and he would like scoop his shoulders down, because they would frame him so that he would barely fit in the frame, little trick of the camera, to even just make him look inhumanly tall, which he already was.
Yeah, check out episode 6, I believe it is, for Jandre the Giant drinking episode.
Yeah. Oh man, I love those stories. That's great.
Now, I'm just curious. Now, with having Babe Ruth making that transition back then, who do you guys think now would be have that same kind of star power coming into the WWE as a ref? And I'll start with our guest, Cody. Who could you see coming in and making that kind of a star power splash?
As a ref, specifically, because I mean, this is a trend that has since been done timeless or like a bunch of times, right? But if you're gonna have somebody that's gonna draw in that kind of a star power, in professional athletics, it wouldn't work as well because everybody's so tall. So I'm trying to think of somebody that is both short and famous and has that physicality. I know it sounds nuts, but the first one that is drawing to my mind is Tom Cruise, because he's a short guy, mm-hmm. and he always has this big smile. And I hadn't thought about this until right now, but I think Tom Cruise would be a super interesting ref to watch.
Okay. Yeah, that I could see that. How about you, April?
Boy, I don't know. I guess going on starting with the size aspect, maybe like a Bruno Mars, because he's super tiny too. But I feel like he has a lot of star power. He's very expressive when he's performing. So I could see him doing really well as a ref too.
I'm going to go with in the same vein as Babe Ruth, because he was a large person mm-hmm. as the enforcer type ref.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with LeBron James.
You know, I had thought to say LeBron too.
I was thinking that. Yeah.
But only as the enforcer type ref.
Right. Now, who was it? Who was ringside for when Mojo Rawley, the football player?
Oh, Gronkowski.
Yeah. Gronk?
Gronk, yeah.
Gronk as a ref?
I see Gronk as a wrestler.
I see Gronk as a wrestler,
too. I think he might dip his toe into
He'll have
later.
His time, I'm sure.
We know Vince loves bringing in those kinds of guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I even checked his height because I wasn't sure, but I was just thinking as an enforcer, so they can have that height. Yeah, he's got some age now, but what about a guy like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like just coming in to do a guest ref, you know, maybe have to rough someone up for a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe pushing it with age.
Yeah, he's almost 70 if he's not 70.
Well, let's go with like 87 Schwarzenegger.
Time machine him into now.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually just thought of a really interesting pitch just now. All right, so if there's two wrestlers, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say if we have which could both do the height and the more of the enforcer ref, right? Is you have two people, the story would be. There are these two giants. Let's see who are two giants that are wrestling kind of modern day, right?
Say Braun and Braun Strowman and I don't know, name someone else.
Killian Dane?
Sure. There we go.
Okay. All right. So let's say those guys are going at it and you set up a series of matches with them. The first one is just a standard one-on-one match and they knock out the ref on accident, right? Vince Kurt, he'll come down. He'll go, "Hey, guys, let's do this match second time. Here's your brand new ref," and they knock the ref out a second time. Kurt is furious, and he goes, "All right, this is going to if you knock out a ref, whoever does it is going to get fined $20,000." And they try to do it and they can't. And that third ref, he is knocked out. And he goes, "You know what? Next week, Hell in a Cell, it's going to be Strowman versus Killian Dane in a no disqualification match. Special guest referee, Manny Pacquiao."
Oh,
and ooh. Manny runs down, short little guy, shirt off, or like sleeves cut down. And Manny doesn't say a word. He just stares up at both of them. No. He's small, but he just looks up and just gives them that mean mug. I guarantee you instant buys. Oh, yeah. Like that is $1 million plan.
Definitely.
Short and mean. Perfect for like both of those roles. Mm-hmm. Book it now. Take my money. Yep.
You should be a writer because I'd be interested in.
I come up with all with pitches and I cut a bunch of promos also like in the wrestle time, right?
Right. Yeah.
I make all these videos for him where I just sort of come up with these things kind of off the cuff. And I just speak right to my phone and just come up with all this kind of weird stuff. And I should be writing more of these down. I feel like.
Yeah. Right.
Cause I just, these sort of things just kind of come to me. So
you just,
yeah, I should go the, you know, I was saying a few weeks ago, I would like to be a manager, but maybe I should be writing.
You just mentioned Manny Pacquiao. Floyd Mayweather said he's going to come out of retirement to fight him this year or next year.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. It should be fun to watch.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's yeah. You know what? That Floyd Mayweather Big Show feud was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He busted. I don't know how real it was, but it looked like he busted up Big Show pretty good.
Show was terrified of getting punched, as would any sane human being be. Yeah, he did not want to take that punch. Mm. And I think they actually had to pay him more just so he would take that punch from Floyd Mayweather.
No, thank you.
Right?
Well, it's kind of like I heard Chris Jericho recently talking about being on, I think it was a movie where he had to throw swings and the director of that movie had to pull him aside. Like, okay, you're scaring these other actors because you are getting dangerously close. He's like, "I'm paid millions of dollars to make these look real."
Yeah.
That actually just happened recently. Finn Balor was in a music video where in this music video, he beats up the artist. And it was sort of the same type of thing where he was like...
Everybody's flinching.
Yeah, everyone. It looked a little too real. Yeah. People were starting to get concerned, but good music video.
I think that's why you see the transition of wrestler to movie action hero work so well.
Yeah. Didn't we do an episode on that?
We did. Of course we didn't. We will.
Exactly.
Yeah. $1 million plan.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
So Cody, where can we find you?
Yeah. All right. Yes, I'm on Twitter at Cajun Crippler, CajunCrippler, which I'm shocked that I got that handle without having to use any numbers or letter or extra letters or weird things to it. There's no spaces, no nothing to it. Just straight across the board. I'm on YouTube. Just search for Cody Laveau. I'm going to be putting a bunch of videos on there very soon.
Awesome.
Follow the saga of the 24/7 Bruiserweight belt. Yes. We're doing a lot of fun stuff with it. That's going to be really fun. Something really fun is about to happen with that. I think in the next week or two. And then other than that, just Wrestle Time on Facebook. We're making a bunch of fun videos and all kinds of stuff there.
I have to say my first introduction to you was, I believe, was it the Shape of Water video that you did where you explained fish sex? And I watched it and I went, okay, what? That was quite an introduction, but I like to think back to that occasionally.
Because I have a background. I got my bachelor's in reproductive neuroendocrinology, which is a fancy word for sex science. So I had a little bit of background with it. And I was like, how would a lady have sex with a fish monster?
I got my PhD in fucking.
That's right.
I mean, he's probably got Kama Sutra.
That'd be awesome. I'm a doctor in fuck.
Yeah. Oh man. I guess it's different than Marilyn Manson being the god of fuck, right?
No.
I mean, I can't even touch that. I'm more schooled in fuck, and I think he has more of like see, I didn't know we could cuss on this thing, man.
Fuck
I would have been swearing up a store. Here I am, bitches, watching my
nah, I should have warned you.
You should the other way around. Dude. Like we gotta warn him, like, oh no, don't swear. No, here we do it all the time. Just past couple of weeks we've been.
Get them all out right now.
Exactly. Well, fuck, dude. If I'd have known that, I would have been letting them fly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me. Anytime you would like me back, y'all know how to find me.
You know what? We'll probably call you we definitely will call you in the future.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love hearing
that. Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Check us out next week. Okay. Bye.
Whether you hit them up, turn them to tofu. The bitch got my kiss on her teeth like a go-to. We be hitting licks like we Babe Ruth. Chopper got them dancing through the juju. Uzi hit him up, turn him to tofu. Your bitch got my kiss on her teeth like a go-to. We be hitting licks like we Babe Ruth. Uzi got him eating bullets like the Cookie Monster. Turn him into noodles like we cooking pasta. Got his insides looking like the salsa. Yeah, my flow is so hot, yeah, it's like sriracha. Too much sauce, got me feeling like I'm Jack Frost. I seen a girl, don't tell me how much did that ass cost. I learned my lessons, from my last loss. Told him toss that hoe, now she ain't worth it. Uzi turn him into applesauce if he lurking. By the curtains, get to working. Late nights at the park, yeah, my pockets hurting. Now they filled with riches, they got too fat, so I undid the stitches. Chopper got him dancing through the juju. Uzi hit him up, turn him into tofu. Your bitch got my kids on the teeth like a gold tooth. We be hitting licks like we Babe Ruth. Chopper got him dancing, make him do the juju. Uzi hit him up, turn him into tofu. Your bitch got my kids on the teeth like a gold tooth. We be hitting licks, like we Babe Ruth. Yeah, it costs 2 bricks for a feature.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.